Today we're going to talk about money, your money, and your relationship to money. So stay with me, please. Take a deep breath, because sometimes I lose people on this subject. You know, I kind of get glassy-eyed over, or they run out the door. So just kind of relax, and because the two subjects that I feel are sometimes the hardest to talk about, and that are sensitive, and that people get a little squirmy about and want to do everything possible to avoid talking about. And the two subjects are money and sex. You know, our intimate relationships, intimacy. But, you know, we tend to want to do everything to avoid talking about these two subjects. But when you look at our lives, aren't these the two areas that we have the most problems with? Money and relationships? Don't you agree? We have big problems in these two areas, and we don't want to talk about them. We never want to talk about what we make, especially in figures. You know, we say, I make a lot of money, or I don't make enough. Yeah, but what is that? You know, is that $15,000? Is it $25,000, $50,000, $100,000? Is it $250,000? It's all relative. But we seem to be embarrassed to talk about what we make. We feel guilty if we make too much, and we kind of are ashamed if we make too little. You know, we never want to talk about our financial situation and, heaven forbid, ask for help until it gets too late. We see that rampant in our country today and in the world. You know, it gets too late. You know, even our relationships, we keep them a secret. You know, we'd rather die than to admit that there's any problem at home. And so we never talk about it until finally we do. And again, most of the time it's too late. You know, and unfortunately, as kids, did you ever get classes in these subjects? Probably not. I don't know very many people who've been educated in these life skills. You know, how to manage your money and how to have a meaningful relationship. Don't you think those would be good tools for our kids to know? Yeah, I would have liked to have known that as a kid. It would have made life a whole lot easier. You know, but because I believe that one impacts the other. So I think they're two very important subjects. But today I want to talk about money. I'll get to relationships at another talk. But I want to talk about money because there's a lot of fear that comes up around money. And, you know, we kind of, you know, shy away from it and don't want to really admit that, you know, that we have concerns, that we have fears, that, you know, will I have enough money? You know, will I have enough money to retire? It's a big one. You know, will I lose my job? What's the market doing? Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. There's lots of questions that come up around money and our relationship to it. And so in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul has a really interesting and profound awareness that he shares with us. And it's found in Romans chapter 2, verse 12. And listen to what Paul says. He says, do not be conformed to the world. Now, in some translations, it says, do not be conformed to this age. But, you know, don't be conformed to what the world out there is telling you. You know, don't follow what everybody else is doing. You know, because the world will have us define wealth by the size of the car we drive and the square footage of our home and our lifestyle. But that's the world's definition of wealth. But listen to the rest of what Paul has to say. He says, be transformed, and this will help you to be different. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, don't be conformed to this world. Don't do what everybody else is doing. But be transformed by renewing and changing your mind. One of our co-founders, Myrtle Fillmore, wrote in her book, Healing Letters, which happens to be my book of the month for June, she writes this, those who are prosperous and successful are the people who have a rich consciousness. And the people who are successful and prosperous have a rich consciousness. So it's all about consciousness, renewing your mind, and knowing what it is that you believe to be true. And so before we can change our mind and before we can change our consciousness, we need to ask a bigger, broader, more important question first. And this question is this. What are my deeply held beliefs that keep me that keep driving me to make the decisions that I make that result in the outcomes that I experience? This is a very extremely important question is for all areas of life, but especially around your money. What are some deeply held beliefs? You may not even be conscious of them yet. But what are those beliefs that are driving you to make those decisions that you're making that result in the outcomes that you're experiencing in your life? Because it all started in thought. So what are those thoughts that you're holding that are creating the experiences that you're experiencing and causing you to make those decisions? You have deeply held beliefs about marriage and how relationships should work, you know, and you decide accordingly. And you also hold deeply held beliefs about parenting, career, money, all you know, life in general. You hold those beliefs, and they kind of guide your decisions from those deeply held beliefs. And so wouldn't it be a good idea to begin to delve into and discover what are some of those ideas that you're holding on to? Because for there to be different outcomes, guess what? There has to be a different decision, which requires a different way of thinking. You know, you can't have any kind of permanent change unless you change your thinking. It's our third basic unity belief. Change your mind, change your life. That's what we teach. It's our third basic unity belief. When you change your mind, your life changes according to those thoughts that you're holding in mind. So change your mind, change your life. And so today I want to give you a big thought, the mother of all truths that relate to your money. Now, before you run out the door, I just want to give you this comforting thought. This lesson today has nothing to do with giving. Hear that. It's not about giving. It's about your belief around money and your relationship to it. And if you can really listen to this and hear it and be able to embrace this big, giant thought about money, you'll actually have more money than less money. And so the truth is that every decision you make financially flows out of a decision that you've made. What you believe about money, about giving, about spending, about saving, about investing, about purchasing, every decision flows out of a decision or a deeply held belief. And so I find it very interesting because if I were to ask you, what are your financial decisions? You'd be able to show me your checkbook or Quicken or your Visa statement. And you can say, here are my financial decisions. These are the decisions I've made. But if I were to ask you, what are your deeply held beliefs about money? You might kind of go, that I should have more? You know, but the truth is we don't know. We don't know. And so, but in order for you to change your beliefs, you've got to know what your beliefs are around money. And that's where the trouble begins, and that's where the fear begins to creep in, because we don't know. And so you've got to think differently about money. And so one big thought I want to give you about money, and it's one that we often forget, is that it all belongs to God. We somehow have this crazy idea we own it, that it's ours, but it all belongs to God. It's not ours. We don't own our money. We don't own our possessions. Isn't that a freeing thought? I mean, if we can really get this, it will absolutely free you. You don't own anything, none of your possessions. They're not yours. If we can get this idea, it will absolutely set you free. And if there's anyone here today who knows of anyone who has taken their stuff or their money with them when they die, I would love to talk to you. Yeah, we spend all this time accumulating stuff and getting stuff, and then at the end of our life, we find all sorts of ways to get rid of it. Now, I'm hearing lots of people downsizing, getting rid of of stuff, so they're not attached to it. And so a very wealthy man had worked hard all his life. And as he neared death, he began to pray that he might be able to take some of it with him. An angel heard him and said, you can't take that with you. But the man begged and begged, and the angel said she would ask God if the rules could be bent. So when she reappeared, she told the man God indeed had bent the rules and would allow him to take one suitcase. And so overjoyed, he got the biggest suitcase he could find, filled it with solid gold bricks, and put it by his bed. When he died, he showed up at the pearly gates with his suitcase. And St. Peter said, hold on, you know the rules. You can't bring anything with you. The man explained he had gotten special permission. St. Peter shrugged and said, and went to look for God. When he returned, he said, you're right. God did say that he allowed you to bring one carry-in bag. But I'm supposed to check its contents. And so St. Peter opened the bag, and his eyes growing wide as he saw what was inside, he said, what? St. Peter exclaimed. You brought a bag full of pavement? You know, heaven is, streets of heaven are paved with gold. You brought pavement with you? You couldn't quite figure that out. But the truth is, we don't own anything. We don't own anything. You know, as a kid, you might have had your own room. And you might have even put a sign on your room, Nancy's room. And you might have even added Nancy's room, stay out. And that might have worked with your brothers and sisters, but then your mother walks in and she says, clean your room. Just when you get it all nice, clean your room. And she can do that because your room really isn't your room. And then she says, clean your room because grandma's going to stay in it when she comes. And so grandma's going to stay in your room because your room really isn't your room. And your mother says, and you're going to move down the hall and stay in your sister's room, which really isn't her room. You get the idea? Skip a mortgage payment or two. Find out who owns your house. Don't pay your property taxes. Find out who owns your property. And skip a car payment or two. Find out who owns your car. You know, if anyone can legally take away what you think is yours, you don't own it. Another big thought. We're not an owner. You're not an owner. You're a manager. Huge thought here. You are a manager. And how you manage your money determines how much you get to manage. Do you see where this is a huge idea? It's huge. We're managers, not owners. And if you can just get this one idea, your whole relationship with money will be transformed. And you'll no longer see money as something you have to cling to, but rather you'll see money as something you need to manage responsibly. You know, and when you understand this, wow, your life will be fully funded all the time. And so when we understand we're not owners, but we're managers of God's money, we can say, wow, I can't believe this incredible opportunity that God has given me to manage this much money. I feel blessed to manage this much money. And we can say that when we know we don't own it. And when you embrace this truth, you make all sorts of different decisions. You're no longer scared about not having enough because you are managing responsibly your money. And when you responsibly manage your money, you get more to manage. Right? You get more to manage. And I love this definition of stewardship. It says, protecting and growing the owner's assets with fierce intensity. Right? So when you're protecting and growing the owner's assets with fierce intensity, And so you want to be a good and responsible money manager so that you'll be entrusted with even more. This is what Jesus meant when he said in the parable of the talents, and this is found in Matthew chapter 25. Jesus says, for all those who have, and we'll do a little metaphysical interpretation here, who have the consciousness, more will be given and they will have abundance. They'll have more to manage. You have the consciousness for it, you'll be given more to manage. But from those who have nothing, who don't have the consciousness and who are not responsible with their money, even what they have will be taken away. So in this context, this makes perfect sense, because if you read this, you can say, boy, Jesus is being rather harsh. No, this is how consciousness works. When you have the consciousness, more will be given to you. When you don't have the consciousness, you'll lose it. It's not that it will be taken away, you'll lose it. You can't hold on to anything that you don't have the consciousness for, and we see that constantly with the lottery, don't we? People win, millions of dollars, and within a year or two, they're usually worse off, in a worse position than they were before they got any of that money. They didn't have the consciousness to retain it. You can't hold on to anything you don't have the consciousness for. And so the question is not, how much do I have? The question now becomes, what am I doing with what God has put on loan to me? What are you doing? How are you managing God's money? Managing your money responsibly would look like this. And I've got 10. They're $1 bills, but they could be 20 or 50s or 100 or thousands. I don't know what denominations they go up to, but it could be anything. But there's 10 of them. And so this is just a little demo. This one belongs to God. 10% off the top. It belongs. It's all God's. It's on loan to you. You're managing it. And we're asked to give 10% to God. So 10%. One of those goes to God. This one goes to your savings, because you want to have the money. If you want to give somebody money, or you want to give to, for example, we had our building replacement project. When you want to give, if you set one of these out of every 10 away into savings, then you'll have the money. It's a whole lot less stressful. Because we all want to give. We all want to participate. But if you're living paycheck to paycheck, then you feel guilty because, you don't have anything left to give. So this one goes into savings. Then this one goes to pay your taxes. And the government says to you, if you give, and you give to a nonprofit charitable organization, you get to deduct it. You can give to your church. Or you save responsibly, give to your, put money away into your pension fund, then you won't need as many of these. This one goes to pay debt, which a lot of us have some debt. And you get to live on whatever's left over. Isn't that exciting? This is where you usually pick yourself up off the floor. Because we want to live on all 10. But that's not responsible managing of your money. We want to first give one to God, one-tenth. One-tenth goes into savings for the future. Another tenth goes away to pay your taxes. But if you, again, do your pension, give to charity, you'll have less of those to give away. You've got some debt to pay with another one, and then you live on whatever's left. This is being a good manager of your money. Being a good money manager. And this is significant, because the way we normally handle our finances is me first. I want it, and I want it now. Whether I can pay for it or not, I put it on credit cards, I'll take out a loan, and we can see where we've gotten with that in our world today. God in common sense says, no, you're fifth. You're fifth on the list. And so it doesn't belong to you anyway. Isn't that a freeing idea? I love that thought. It doesn't belong to you anyway. And so you don't have to pray, God, provide the money because God said, I already did. You spent it. You know, you're driving around in it. You're living in it. You know, you're surrounded with all your toys and stuff. Many of us are living way out of our means. And it's not just us. It's the world in general. We're seeing it everywhere, globally today. We're reaping what we've sown. And we need to get back to remembering what is our truth. And so I just want you to imagine for yourself how your life would be different if you truly, truly lived as if this statement were true. It all belongs to God. I'm simply a manager. I just want you to be with that thought this week. As you handle your money, as you make those decisions, that it all belongs to God. And I'm just simply managing. You know, it would free you. I mean, you wouldn't be so concerned about money. You wouldn't be so driven crazy by wanting, because you would have the money, because you would be managing it responsibly. There would be less stress and a whole lot less worry. And so my challenge to you this week, if you choose to accept it, is to go through this week and put God first. Put God first. It's all God's money anyway. And so ask, you know, God, what do you want me to do with your money today? You know, and then begin to track what you do with God's money. Write it down for 1 week. Write it down. Put it into Quicken. Because, you know, it doesn't matter how much money you have or how little you have, the first step is really knowing where it all goes. Because we tend to just spend and spend and spend without tracking or knowing where does it all go. How many Starbucks coffees do you have a week? You probably don't even know how much you spend in coffee each week. Or how much do you spend on lunch? You know, the first step in being a good money manager is to know where your money goes. Because it doesn't belong to you anyway. You know, if you have a personal financial manager, you want to know where every penny goes, don't you? Well, you are a personal financial manager for God's money. And you need to know where it all goes. And so I invite you this week to spend this week at being a good manager. You spend 1 week as a good manager and see if you don't soar above your financial fears to freedom. See if you don't start living fully funded. And one thing I want to do to kind of, one tool I want to offer to you, and you got a little brochure as you walked in today. It's the Unexpected Income Program. We did this last year. I love to do this over the summer because it's a fun thing. And I'm not, again, it's not about giving. Because if you're tithing, you're doing this already. You're going to be doing this already. But if you're not tithing, that's 10%. Remember, ten of those dollars I had, goes to God. 10% goes to God. If you're not doing that, this is just a fun little thing for you to play with it. Try it out. Doesn't work, then don't do it. But I guarantee if you are serious about it and you diligently do this, it will work. And so what this is there's a prayer on the middle panel on the inside of the brochure. It says, my prayer for unexpected income, and we want to say it morning and night, at least twice a day, morning and night, or as many times in between as you want. It's a great prayer. And then what you do is you begin to watch. You begin to just be aware and watch as unexpected income comes to you. When you become that open channel, watch as it gets drawn to you. And then your agreement is to tithe 10% off the top. So if you receive an unexpected gift of $100, you immediately write the church $10, 10% off the top. Now, I'm not talking about your income or stuff that you regularly receive. That's up to you whether you want to do that. This is just unexpected. It was interesting because in Florida, my church in Florida, I had a gal who came in with a check for $500. And she said how she got this money was, she said, I've been doing the prayer, and I dialed an 800 number, and it was a wrong number. But it happened to be a radio station in, like, Montana or somewhere, and they said, congratulations, you're the 11th caller. You just won $5,000. You don't care how it comes to you. And she couldn't wait to write that. She said, I wasn't expecting it anyway. So here's $500. I made the commitment to do that. Watch for a friend calling you and saying, I just want a trip for two, a cruise for two. You want to go? That's unexpected income. You know, watch for repairs that you don't have to do because, you know, something, you know, somebody offered to repair your car or something. You don't know what's going to happen. Be open to unexpected ways that you are getting income. Last summer when we did this, June to the end of August, we do it for June, July, August. Last year, there was a total tithe of $7,044.15. That means over $70,000 came into this congregation in 3 months last summer in unexpected income. You don't believe this works? Try it. So what I'm going to ask you to do is to fill out the form, because what we're going to do is put you on a prayer list. And so our prayer team and our chaplains will be holding you in prayer and holding our church in prayer. And you're going to start looking for those ways that income comes to you. You're going to say your prayer for unexpected income. And we're going to see if we can top what we did last year. I believe it can happen. So let's say our prayer. Open up your little brochure. And I also want you to email me. My email address is in here. Or it's on the back, on the little panel here. Email me your stories. And if you're willing to share it on a Sunday, because I'd love to have testimonies all through the, you know, saying, this is, you know, what happened. Because that will encourage and support all of us. So let's say this prayer together. I dwell in the midst of infinite abundance. The abundance of God is my infinite source. The river of life never stops flowing. It flows through me into lavish expression. Good comes to me through unexpected avenues. God works in many ways to bless me. I now open my mind to receive my good. Nothing is too good to be true. Nothing is too wonderful to happen. With God as my source, nothing amazes me. I give freely and fearlessly into life, and life gives back to me with fabulous increase. Blessings come in expected and unexpected ways. God provides for me in wondrous ways. I am grateful. Thank you, God. And at the top, you have a whole little thing about how it works. So take it home, read it over. If you're ready to make the commitment, there's a place for you to put it out in the atrium. And as you see that unexpected income coming in, I invite you, when you write the check or cash or put in an envelope, write on it unexpected income. Because we want to track it and see just what is coming into our lives when we focus on being that one with that infinite source. And so have fun. God bless you.